You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
I gotta say, I was as surprised as anybody to say, seriously, you guys are remaking A Star Is Born again?
Yeah, again.
Fourth time's a charm.
I was like, I thought for sure they were gonna go punk rock this time. Well,
but they
okay.
did go kind of rocky.
A little late for that.
I desperately hoped they were going punk rock this time. No, hey man, Alex Cox needs work. Just saying. But no, I didn't get to see this one either. I was at Fantastic Fest, sorry. But Frank and Bo did get to see this, and now I'm jealous because everyone is kind of raving about this movie out there, going like, wow, I'm going back to see it multiple times.
Yeah. It's solid. It's really good.
I think this is definitely the first, like, very obvious Oscar contender out there, you know, that is, you know, firmly under the standard Hollywood banner.
You haven't seen First Man yet.
And I'm sure, you know, they're all starting to come out.
Yeah.
Just the season.
But yeah, this is the first entry, and you know, I think it's going to generate a lot of nominations.
It's earned its buzz.
I know,
yeah,
a lot of people
question.
Were nervous about this because A, Lady Gaga, who, I mean, I think has already proved she's got some chops on American Horror Story.
Yeah.
I was like, I think she may be able to handle this, but a lot of people didn't have that exposure. We're like, what? Really? American Gaga?
American Gaga.
Lady Gaga pulling off like a role like this?
Well, you know what?
But the other thing is Bradley Cooper, who plays the other main character here, it's also his directorial debut,
yeah.
which is rarely a hit it out of the park.
This is so many eyes watching this movie for those two reasons, but people forget that Lady Gaga started out as a stage actress. She started out doing, like, off-Broadway plays, and then she went into music.
I mean, it's not like she's an unaffected performer. She is definitely, you know, used to, you know, assuming personas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over again, as she has proved. And she's, you know, kind of, you know, she's a very Bowie-esque performer. She's been through, you know, several kind of iterations of this is, what is Gaga going to be this year?
I just realized who they should cast to play the chameleon in the next Spider-Man.
Oh my gosh.
Just say. Why not? We can gender swap. I see no reason not to.
But yeah, this, you know, obviously this is getting a lot of buzz, and it's a lot of that buzz is because people are being so pleasantly surprised, not only by Lady Gaga turning out to you know, have this spectacular performance, and Bradley Cooper, who's always a great performer, coming off as a very competent and decent musician, but also the fact that Bradley Cooper has turned in such a great effort for his first directorial efforts.
Isn't it weird to think Bradley Cooper got his start playing the nerdy friend with a crush on Jennifer Garner and Alias?
I know.
He used to play a guy that was considered not attractive.
Yeah.
He was also the slimy DA on SVU for a couple episodes as well.
The student who asked the question on Inside the Actor's Studio.
Oh, yes, of course.
We like to make comparisons to classic actors with new actors. Like, a lot of people say Tom Hanks is our Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of our new Robert Redford.
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of that bit here.
You got that.
But he really, you know, if you read the documentation that's out there right now, he really, really worked on this movie. There, it was Clint Eastwood was kind of holding it for a while,
and
he passed it on to him, and he had been wanting to direct something for a long time, and was just looking for the right project, and this was the thing that really resounded in him because he does love music. And is, you know, plays music in his own private life.
He has a band too.
He worked very closely. The main musical consultant on this was Lucas Nelson, who's Willie Nelson's son.
Oh, okay.
And his band was basically Cooper's backing band.
Oh.
And when they did a lot of these crowd scenes, were actually filmed at Willie Nelson concerts, where they basically said, like, all right, in between sets, you can go on. You've got 8 minutes to film this.
Huh.
So make it work.
Make it count. Yeah.
While Willie gets some water.
And he filmed, like, some of the best scenes during those moments.
Oh, they're so pulsating. They're so energetic.
Yeah.
They're so great.
And, but the reason this movie, you know, and we don't really have to go into the plot of this.
10 years from now, people will be like watching those scenes and going, why are there people holding up signs for our president? That's a Beto joke. So.
why are you see that too? Up? Oh, my God.
Why,
yeah.
What are those things in their hands? Why don't they have a chip in their head?
Where's all the drones?
You know, we don't really have to go into the storyline too much because it is based
people
on
know
the
it.
Classic.
But yeah. A lot of people have never seen
which
it.
Which is,
so.
it is an aging star here played by Bradley Cooper, who stumbles upon a rising young person, in this case Gaga, and in this case he's looking for a drink really hard, and he wanders into the only bar that he can see in the neighborhood, which is a drag bar, and Lady Gaga is kind of drag queen's mascot, and they have cajoled her up on stage to sing La Vie en Rose, the famous Edith Piaf song.
Amazing.
And he's kind of enraptured by this, goes backstage and talks to her. And then decides to make her his protege, to the extent that he basically kind of says, hey, why don't you, come to my show as a date, and flies her out there on her private jet. And then when she gets backstage, he takes her out onto stage and they start singing the song that they wrote together the night before, and kind of, him in a little, just shy of drunken stupor, and her, confessing that she really wants to be a songwriter, and she's been writing songs and performing them for years, but everybody's told her, you don't have the looks, you don't have this, you don't have that. And he's the guy who finally believes in her, and he gives her the shot. And, of course, everybody takes it on their phones, and it goes viral, and they fall in love. And then, the rest of the movie is her going up and his trajectory going down, because he is an extreme alcoholic.
And, substance abuse.
Yeah, substance abuse.
Pill popper.
Very self-destructive. He's had horrible family relations. Mm-hmm. He's got this very, tenuous love-hate relationship with his older brother, very older brother, played by Sam Elliott.
Bradley's changed a life, baby.
They're at contretemps a lot. Because of his drinking, and also because Sam Elliott used to be a musician himself, Bradley Cooper was his guitarist, and then Bradley Cooper basically he started singing in the same way that Sam Elliott used to sing, and Bradley Cooper he kind of bases his voice, his character voice in this on Sam Elliott, and he achieves it quite well.
Okay, Sam Elliott's very familiar cadences,
cadence and that deep southern. Inspired, basso growl.
Yeah.
Yourself, dude. I know that you will.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was very much like that. He drops it sometimes, though, when he's being really himself.
And
he nails it.
And the rest of the movie is, this bittersweet tale of, this one guy who's kind of running into the ground, and this other person who's just, literally ascending into the
stratosphere,
the stratosphere of fame.
It's interesting. It feels like maybe this role spoke to Lady Gaga, because I know she had difficulties when she was first getting started, because she is not a traditional beauty.
No, she does not fit into anyone's box.
There's a lot of stuff there. A lot of this, this is even though this is a very Hollywood movie, and it's a tale that has literally been told, three times before.
And I think it was a play, a musical as well.
It was a musical, and there's been unofficial remakes of it as well. Yeah.
Theatrical movies.
And it's one of those it's its own trope of, the kind of Svengali with the younger lover who, ascends while they descend. Bradley Cooper brings a lot of his own personal struggles to this, because he struggled with substance abuse as well. And there's a lot of stuff in here that deals with that. And he's basically said, it's the only two things I wanted to be bulletproof about this is that people saw it and could take the music seriously and could recognize the realism of the substance abuse.
Which begs the question, how are the songs?
The songs are amazing.
Are they catchy?
Well, catchy is not the right word for it. They're very hypnotic.
Okay. They're hypnotic. There's a lot of really good stuff, but the song that he brings her out to sing on, which is Shallows, which is out now.
Yeah.
It's becoming a bit of an earworm for me.
Me too. Listen, before I went into this movie, I came down with the hugest migraine, and my head was splitting going into this thing, and it continued to split the entire time. But I didn't care. I did not want this music to stop. Like, this is one of the best soundtracks of the year. Yeah,
and they both do a good job. Obviously, Cooper does not have the range close that Gaga has. But he does, you know, he's basically playing kind of an alt-country guy. And he holds up that end of the bargain. And
he takes his range for as long as, for as long as
really
he can.
And that's really amazing guitar playing. And he,
oh, my God, yeah.
This was 4 years in the making. And he, like, worked solidly at doing that the whole time. You know, but what this what this whole thing comes down to, the reason that this works is their chemistry is fucking incredible.
Wow.
I mean,
yeah, it really is. Yeah,
it's lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, they read each other so well. And to think, you know, the original, I mean, Beyonce was originally attached to this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I not kept on thinking about it, but I went back to every once in a while thinking, oh my God, this would have been such a different movie.
Yeah.
It needed to be her. She is so... Because, like you said,
she's really accessible, and she doesn't, I mean, you know, as she kind of becomes more of a pop star as opposed to, you know, because when she's, like, you know, in the beginning, and she's basically kind of duetting with him, and then then she, at his behest, starts doing some solo stuff on stage, you know, while she's touring with his band, but it's more of a, you know... More, like I said, more of an alt-country act, and then she becomes more of a pop star.
But by design, like, just some, like, architect, like, music's, like, A&R guy that really tries to build her into something that she's not.
But even when she's, like, you know, made up and doing a pop star route and even doing a film shoot, she's not doing that style of glamour that we normally associate with Gaga. It's,
her weird oddball version of glamour, but yes.
Her vision. Whatever.
I love Lady Gaga. I have nothing but mad respect for her whole
I got
career.
A lot of respect for her. I don't like most of her catalog, but I got a lot of respect for her.
It's not really my style of music, her pop stuff, but really crazy the way she got there and what she does with it.
I know.
Like, you know, it may not be my thing, but damn, I got to take
my hat off.
But that's
why she can play this so well. She knows what it's like to be the outsider, and she knows what it's like to have that insecurity and, you know, more than I think most artists do. And, you know, she brings that and it shines through.
I'm actually a huge fan, and she does a real purposeful step away from what she's done to offer, you know, the performance that
she never goes on stage with a meat suit, is what you're saying.
Well, no. And she's not like, you know,
a huge bathtub, maybe.
Even the pop songs that she's generating for this, it is not.
Gaga.
You know, it's an alley song. It's not a Lady Gaga.
That's okay. Very true.
Now, I got to ask you guys, Dave Chappelle plays Bradley Cooper's best friend here, who's a retired musician, and y'all haven't even mentioned him, which makes me think he's barely in
it. He is barely
more
in
or
it.
Less.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got one strong scene, and you know.
He's quite good.
He's really good.
Everybody's good in this movie.
But it's kind of one of those things where you're just like, well, you know, I wish you had been in this more. You know, it's certainly nothing that I would want left on the cutting room floor, but it's not, you know, it's certainly not the most, like, scene that sticks to your ribs the most.
What about Andrew Dice Clay?
Oh, my God. He is so great.
Okay, I keep hearing things with him appearing in stuff in small roles where you're like, Jesus Christ, Andrew Dice Clay, you just rocked
them. No, he was great. I mean, he's so, like, he's meat and potatoes, this guy, but he's so, like, earnest and soulful as well.
You know, and the Dice Man was always a character, and he's always been, you know, a bit of a character actor, and it's only, like, in the last... you know, really 10 years that people have been like, oh yeah, that guy. And, you know, we saw him in Blue Valentine where he did a great job in that. And then he's had his own, like, you know, like one or two solo shows.
This isn't Ford Fairlane.
You know, and he's being a straight up dad. And he's doing a great job, you know, it's almost like, you know, and I think, like, he's even, you know, he's thrown in a little bit of Tony Bennett, who is actually one of Lady Gaga's best friends, you know, and they've done an album of
Oh, I didn't know
together.
That.
Oh, wow. You didn't know it's that? Old. Oh, my God. Well, that is,
I don't super follow.
No, but that is the most, like, one of the most, like, oddball friendships that people are like, whoa, that is so cool. Yeah, that is a friendship.
The reason she's got a trumpet tattooed on her bicep. Tony Bennett drew that.
See, I know more about her from her American Horror Story season than I do from her.
And that's totally understandable.
Also, Anthony Ramos, who was the guy who originated John Lawrence and Philip Hamilton in Broadway version of Hamilton, plays her best friend.
Mm-hmm. He's good too. I mean,
does he get a chance to sing?
No, he doesn't.
No.
No.
Because obviously, he good.
Yeah. Very much so.
But, and then it also mentions Alec Baldwin is in this.
It's just a
cameo. Blink and miss it, sort of.
Yeah,
thing.
There's a couple of people who come in playing themselves because
she goes on SNL and he's like the host that week.
I did kind of laugh that Greg Grunberg is in this. It's not a J.J. Abrams film.
Yeah,
but those two were an Alias together.
And it's the type of role that you would expect J.J. Abrams to give Greg Grunberg because he's
like, can you miss it?
Yeah, well, no, but he's playing.
He's an X-wing fighter pilot.
He's playing he's playing Bradley Cooper's driver. Like, and you know, he's the guy who's kind of taking care of him.
Like, yeah, it's his minder almost in a way. Yeah, but you know, as good as the concert scenes are, don't you just love like just the moments between the two of them, like that when they're together in the grocery store parking lot?
Yeah.
I mean, this is where Cooper will succeed as a director. He just lets the characters talk about who they really are. He lets the camera just explore them, and it's so great.
One of those things. The process was probably a lot of in character, like let's just rehearse this together and like play these scenes as these characters without a written thing, and just see where it goes, and then we'll write into the script what works and what doesn't. Like it feels like he's one of those directors.
Yeah, it does. As much as you think this would be so grandiose and you know large scale as a production, and it definitely is during the musical sequences. I mean, this is a really intimate film and a really involving character study between these two. Like, and you know, one of the reasons this keeps on getting remade, because these are two really great male and female protagonists.
Yeah.
These are really, you know, two very, you know, rich characters. And Cooper knows this, and that's why he takes the time to explore who these people really are.
You know, this film doesn't work if the characters don't fall in love and kind of remain in love until the very end. And they pull that off with flying colors.
So final thoughts, Frank.
You know, latching on to what you just said, I think one of the biggest strengths of this movie is that the characters, as much as they both want success for themselves and they both have their own dreams and aspirations, what they want most is each other's dreams come true.
Sure.
And that's so beautiful. I mean, that's what makes this romance so pure and so true. Look, this is, we say the fourth? Yeah, the fourth remake.
The fourth version.
Fourth version, not kind of the unofficial one with Robert Redford and Michelle Pfeiffer from the 90s where they transported into the TV news desk arena. But
what was that? Which one was that?
Up Close and Personal.
Oh, okay. I feel like I never saw that.
Yeah, yeah. He plays like this old newsman who's like this Dan Rather type of guy, and she plays this like, you know, up and coming like news, you know, whatever. But it's
or like that one with Harrison Ford and what's her name? The one with the Rachel McAdams.
Well, that's a different one.
Yeah.
Morning Glory.
Yeah.
But
but everyone should see that movie for the record.
Yeah, that is an underrated comedy. I'll agree. But
I'm just gonna talk about other movies that I love while you're doing.
While some of my final thoughts. Yeah. No.
Also, Zero Effect is great with Bill Pullman. Y'all should.
Guys, I gotta go.
Okay. No. This is solid. I will say a couple of criticisms about Cooper as a director. I mean, this is a first time director thing. This guy seems to have studied the slow mo love scene. To death, because I think he holds it just a little bit too long, especially in the marriage proposal scene. But he loves the material. It's so clear he loves the material. He knows these characters and he's so interested and invested in these characters. And, you know, I mean, he brings it all. This is a really great first time director's outing. And it's only going to go up from here. He's great. He's at his most so emotional and so raw, this, you know, as an actor. He's so available. And, you know, he lets the actors do their thing. You know, him and Elliot together as brothers. I mean, that's the only time I cried in the movie.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, that last scene between the two of them. Oh, my God. It rips your heart out, doesn't it? Yeah. And she is so surprised. She is – I shouldn't say surprising because she knows this character. She has been this character. And so she can play it truthfully. As much as all the studio glitz and glamour – attached to a movie like this. This is a very real movie. It's very genuine. It's very honest. It's very pure. And, you know, it will surprise people. It will delight those that want to be delighted by it, and it will surprise the naysayers. I have to give this 9 out of 10 trips to the shallow.
And for the record, Bradley already being part of the MCU I would not be surprised. They're always on the look for big new upcoming directors if it's announced some future Marvel
film. People are already trying to shut Guardians out of Zach, and he's already saying that he won't do it.
Yeah, well, that's loyalty.
It's going to be Taika Waititi if it's anyone.
I mean, this is in many ways, an old-fashioned Hollywood movie.
Which means Bo loves it.
It's old-fashioned in the way that old-fashioned Hollywood movies were great.
Yes.
You know, the Academy is going to love this movie, but don't let that put you off. and don't let the, you know, I think the idea that, you know, if you want this movie to be great, you're going to absolutely adore it. And if you're thinking that it's not going to be all that hot, you're probably going to end up being surprised. I don't have much other to say other than it was an amazingly moving movie that I was not expecting to be so moved by. Bradley Cooper knocks it out of the park. Go see it. If nothing else, just go see it to watch Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga together on screen, because it's worth $10. Easy. I give it 9.5 out of 10 shots of cold gin.
And really quick, can I ask you, Bo, what's your favorite Lady Gaga song? Out of curiosity.
My favorite Lady Gaga song?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sorry, that's a tough question.
I'm really bad at picking favorites. Like, it varies a lot. I actually, like, the most recent thing that she's done, I love Joanne.
Right.
But I'm also, like, I think Telephone's one of the best things she's done.
Oh, yeah. Mine's Million Reasons.
Anyway. I'm almost disappointed this movie was good, because I was looking forward to saying A Star is Born at the beginning of this review.
Listen, for my written review, my headline was A Star is Born Again. So, I had to.
You did it. You get the points.
Thank you.
I'll give the points to you.
Okay.